I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Sarah Bolt grew up in St. Louis and went on to originate the role of Sister Mary Patrick on Broadway in Sister Act. She's back in her hometown this weekend as part of Tidings of Comfort, a holiday concert, and she'll join us later to talk about her career and growing up in Holly Hills. We'll also talk to Max McLean, who wrote and directs the theatrical adaptation of C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, which portrays a morally inverted universe set in an office in hell where God is called the enemy and the devil is called our father below, and where a plan is hatched to ruin the life of an unsuspecting human on Earth. And it's funny. But first, Christmas in St. Louis. John Oldani has a Ph.D. in American Studies and has written a number of books on American folklore, including the Passing It On series of St. Louis folklore. His latest, Christmas in St. Louis, Traditions, Displays, and Celebrations. His students at SIUE called him Dr. Jack. John Oldani, welcome to Cityscape.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
It's great. Great to see you again.
Thank you.
The music, the lights, even the frightful weather, all part of the holiday tradition?
It's all there, one package. And some people don't like the snow, others do, but we all put up with it.
I'm constantly fighting with people about that, like it or hate it.
That's part of the war of Christmas.
I like it, although I had a long drive last night that wasn't fun.
No, not good.
Why was it time for you to write this book? You've written a lot of books. Why with this one now?
Well, I have done books on St. Louis regionalism, and I've done things on family lore, and I've done things on group lore. This was the time to do a city lore specifically around a holiday, which is really a rite of passage. No one is immune from Christmas. No one, no matter who it is. It starts in August
like
nowadays.
Like it or not. Jim.
Like it or not, it's there. So I said, why not document what's here? And we, Mark Ablon, a terrific photographer, took over 800 pictures, traveled literally a couple thousand miles in St. Louis day and night taking the pictures of the area. We divided them into retail, commercial, and community. And he did a great job with that. We chose 260 to put in the book.
Jeez.
And what they represent is, I think, the traditions which are solid to the St. Louis area. I'm not saying they're different from other people, but more important to us here and represent a lot of our lore.
Well, speaking of the photographs in the book, there are everything's from like the doors of Lafayette Square,
yeah,
the Walk of the Santas in Old Town St. Charles, Alton's Rock Spring Park,
yeah,
and a lot of vintage photographs too from days gone by.
Oh, yeah. I got to spend a while at the graveyard of the Post-Dispatch. Unfortunately, it's not organized. You could go through a lot of pictures, and it brought back a lot of memories for me, which is part of, you know, the past we really don't have, we need to remember, which is what folklore does. So we have a lot of those from the old sticks. People called it the Grand Leader.
Sticks Baron Fuller.
And then there was Scruggs Vandervoort and Barney and Famous and Barr. And people actually made it calendar traditions to go down the day after Thanksgiving with certain clothes. They had certain window clothes even, and then they would eat at the Forum Cafeteria or someplace else downtown, no longer here. But the memories are there. And so we have several pictures from 36 and 57 and 75 of the windows. And it was really nice to go back and see all that and bring back those memories.
In your book, you say that Christmas in America has a checkered past. That grabs my attention.
Yeah, it really does. In fact, there have been many books on the war on Christmas. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came here in 1620, 17th century, they outlawed Christmas, could not have one. In fact, there was a whole law to repeal Christmas. And to make the long story short, the people here who were Christianized decided to fight this. And so Boston had their first official Christmas in 1683, and since then, Christmas has never stopped. But there are still people who say it's a money motive. It's a commercial motive.
Well, it certainly has changed over the years, right? When do you think, looking back in time, When did it become so commercial? It wasn't always.
No, it was not. I guess I would say, well, President Grant in 1870, on June 26, declared it official holiday, the only religious holiday, by the way, to have this annual tradition from the government. But I would say it as recent as the 1930s and 1940s, when the lights became very popular. People were able to afford the lights that GE had developed, and with Thomas Edison's help in 1898. And since then time, people have just gone crazy with it. There are now whole companies that will put up Christmas lights for you.
Right. I've seen those ads just recently, as a matter of fact. Well, I guess maybe people don't need to go to the stores to see the displays. As you say, so many people now have elaborate displays at home.
They have them at home. One of our displays is from Never Enough Lights, Gary Rodrigue in O'Fallon, Missouri. It takes 25 hours listening to music to get 20 seconds for the computer sync of the lights. And he just works all year for it, and it's just magnificent. Plus other ones in there, like the Toscano family over on in Crespo near Grant's Farm. There's just some really beautiful things here, all giving way to the spirit that St. Louis represents.
Christmas in St. Louis is the book, Traditions, Displays, and Celebrations by John L. O'Danny. And the photographs, like you say, of different neighborhoods, different areas of St. Louis, mm-hmm. different things that we'd recognize, we may not, and mm-hmm. some interesting trivia and information.
Mm-hmm.
On page 5 of your book, you mm-hmm. have St. Louis folk beliefs and traditions.
Yes.
So let me throw out a couple of these.
All right. Okay.
And some of these were new to me, I have to say.
And none was made up. There are people practice these all the time because it's a rite of passage, Christmas.
And how did you find these?
Well, I do field work, and over the years we have interviewed hundreds of people. We have several thousand items for Christmas in St. Louis.
All right. Never wash a Christmas gift of clothing before you wear it. It will wash out the good luck.
Exactly. You never bought that gift. It was bought for you. So if you do that, it's that magic of transference, which is washed out. And so it'd be bad luck for you. And some say bad luck for the people who bought it for you. So make sure you don't wash that.
Putting off laundry day is not a problem in my house. On Christmas Day, spread straw, symbolic of the manger, around any fruit trees. I guess you mean outside.
Outside, and especially if it's a pear tree. That's even the most luck, because if a young lady wants to be married next year, she puts the straw around that tree representing the manger and then walks around the tree. And then after 5 times walking, she looks up and she'll see an image of her true love.
Wow.
That's believed, Steve.
Okay, now is this next one true? And I want you to prove it. The hours of sunshine on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. so many frosts the month of May.
Month of May, including a fat graveyard in May and June, because a lot of people will get will transfer that stuff with the different colds going around. Now, there are people in St. Louis who literally keep track of weather every day and tell us that when the weather hits Chesterfield, it goes north or south, it never comes here, so the weathermen are wrong. But they track it to graph it, and they're graphing that too. But I'm not really into that kind of thing, but I believe what they're saying.
I've seen these pickle ornaments on trees. I never understood that.
Yeah, it's a German tradition, and it some people say it represents the harvest, because the Saturnalia and what was called the Paradiesebaum, which was the medieval harvest series where cookies are bread and apples are put on the tree, represents. So the pickle is something green that hides with the tree, and if you find it, you're extra lucky.
Let me run through a couple real quick here.
Yeah.
Never light any Christmas candles until Christmas Day, or you'll have bad luck. Mm-hmm. Never remove Christmas decorations before the 12th day of Christmas.
Very popular.
Or you'll have bad luck for the new year.
Yes.
I like this one. If you break the ribbons on any Christmas presents, you will break good luck.
Exactly.
What's that
about? That comes from another rite of passage. It's the same as when ladies get married for their wedding gifts, and also when you have baby showers. If you break those ribbons, bad luck. And if you're the one who breaks the ribbon at a baby shower, you'll have the next baby. So it comes part of all the rites of passage.
And if you break the ribbon, you can't reuse it next year.
That's right.
So there's a practical side
to that. There's a practical side, right.
So much in your book. I love this one. The ribbon, and I remember this, I don't know how far it goes back, but it seems like when I was a kid, maybe I'm exaggerating, but the big red ribbon and bow on the planetarium.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s, and that's a nice urban tale about St. Louis, from St. Louis there. Apparently, the story is that some architect students at Wash U decided to sneak past the guards at the planetarium, and they got the blueprints for the planetarium. okay, could happen. And they decide to put a big red ribbon around it, and red being the color of Christmas, and the bow is the ribbon, traditions, and they put up and left a little sign saying Santa was here and sent that to the Post-Dispatch, again keeping the tradition of Santa Claus and St. Nicholas alive. Since then, we've heard about 10 different stories after that. But the planetarium liked it so well, they kept the bow, just put a gold one on for their 50th anniversary.
Wow. Is the Visit My Tree tradition, is that exclusive to St. Louis?
Not exclusive, but the phrase is itself, seeing my tree, seeing my tree, come and see my tree. And sometimes people put it up because they believe in the meaning of the green evergreen and what lights mean on the tree, and the ornaments becomes kind of an autograph book verse in a visual form, because this is the ornament I got when I went to this country or visited this place, or when I was growing up. This was when my mother gave it to me when I was a kid. It represents a real good history for people to see. So you've got to come and see my tree. Most people say, I didn't work hours to put this up. You're coming over.
We're talking with John Oldani about his book, Christmas in St. Louis, and I believe we have a listener that has a comment or a question.
Oh, good.
If that's okay with you.
I like that, sure.
Hi, you're on Cityscape.
Yes, good morning, Dr. O'Danny. I'm looking forward to purchasing your book.
Thank you.
And I've joined the program in progress. I don't know if you discussed Famous and Bar's, whatever they called it, Christmas Wonderland up in the auditorium exhibition area.
Right, that's in the book. And in fact, there are two pictures from Famous with the dancing bears, the real live bears they got from San Francisco.
One year they had something. Every year they had a theme in Christmas, and you wouldn't know it until the Post-Dispatch came out Thanksgiving Day.
Exactly. That's a great memory, isn't it?
And one year they had was Paddington Bears, whatever they are.
Oh, yeah.
And they had little bear cubs in Santa's Wonderland. One year it was Candy Cane Land, and they had a candy.
Yeah.
They had candy butchers making candy.
Exactly.
This place was fantastic. They had two or three Santas at the end of thing with the kids. God knows what it cost, but those were the days.
Great memory. And you could remember the smell of the peppermint as you walk through.
Yes. And another thing that the May Company had, of course, that was their flagship store. We all think about the main window, well, all the great windows, but in the Olive Street corner, call the, I don't know how many stories it was, of cascading lights. It was a Christmas tree, a stylized Christmas tree.
Yes.
That's Max from Baden. We really appreciate your call. Well, there's someone that's excited.
Exactly. And he's got the good memory of it, and he feels the emotion of it.
Okay, a couple of things, a couple of rumors.
All right.
Your book is so full of things. God lives on the hill?
Oh, absolutely. He's Italian. We know that. And they're having on the hill tomorrow is the Hill Walk. And you'll be able to visit the Italian bakeries famous for their Christmas cookies. The cookies come from the Pennsylvania Dutch that used to hang on the tree and, again, represent the harvest and abundance. And the Italians have picked up on that.
And I hate to bring this up, so I want to do it very delicately because, you know, that's my nature. What's this about St. Nicholas and ladies of the night?
Oh, yeah, St. Nicholas. Today is the feast day, December the 6th. And what happened was that St. Nicholas, who was the Bishop of Myra in Asia Minor, years ago, a neighbor said they had no money. So he's put his daughters out on the street to make money and to sell themselves. St. Nicholas says, you can't do this. So he took three bags of gold, threw it in the windows of that home. Those three bags of gold saved the family from the daughters working on the streets, and they're the same three gold balls that are hanging outside pawn shops today because of St. Nicholas.
The book is Christmas in St. Louis. On another page, page 10, you have traditions for the new year. Let me just throw a couple of these. Whatever you do on the first day of the new year, you will do as a habit throughout the year, which concerns me because I know how some people feel when they wake up after the new year. So
that's why you've got to be very careful because it will be part of your ingrained habit.
Open all your windows?
Oh, yeah. Let the dirt out, meaning the evil spirits out at midnight. Open all the windows and sweep out the front door with your old broom. Throw the broom away and buy a new one.
This one I know because I remember this from every New Year's in my house growing up, pickled herring.
Oh, yeah, the pickled herring has milk glands, and that represents the woman's reproductive organ, which is also abundance and good luck. And my father ate that every year. He hated it, vomited, got sick, but had to do it because you want to be rich in the new year.
Ah, memories. What's the thing about eating grapes?
Oh, eat 12 grapes, one for every month. After each one, eat one. You make sure you wish something for that month that you've eaten it, and it will happen. But it came from Dionysius, the Greek god of wine.
The book is Christmas in St. Louis, Traditions, Displays, and Celebrations. And John Aldani is the author, and I know you're going to have a book sighting on, I guess it would be a week from tomorrow at the Botanical Garden?
The Botanical Garden on the 14th. On the 14th of December, Sunday will be at the Lafayette Square Christmas Parlor Tour. We'll be at Fabrication Arts Center, which is on Park Avenue, 1916 Park. We'll be signing books there. And then I'll be speaking at the History Museum next on the 11th at 10:30. I'll give a presentation and a book signing.
What's the reaction been to your book? You know, I mean, it's so seasonal and timely, right?
Oh, it's terrific. And people, baby boomers like me, I got a couple calls. They're already crying.
We got a call from him earlier, almost.
Yeah.
One last thing I just want to share, one of my Christmas memories and yours really quickly.
Uh-huh.
Here's mine, my St. Louis tradition. Both my parents grew up here. Long story short, we didn't, but we always came back for Christmas every year growing up. So we had two sets of grandparents.
Oh, sure.
So
sure.
I grew up with a Christmas Eve being with the Potters in Normandy, having huge presents and a huge dinner. Then Christmas morning, waking up, there wasn't I-70 then, or 170, I mean.
Yeah.
And so it'd be Hanley Road down to my other grandmother's house behind the Galleria.
Oh.
For another big present thing.
I
thought everyone always had two Christmases.
Oh, yeah. Well, many people do, but not everybody does. But you had to do it.
So as far as holiday traditions, what's your favorite?
The one that we practice, not anymore, my grandmother's dead, is first footer. It's very popular. First person into your home on New Year's Day has to be a young man with brown hair, handsome, tall, like me. And they walk through the house and pick up some food or money, walk out the back door. If it's red-haired person come to your home, represents Judas, who would betray Christ, bad luck. So make sure the first person into your home on New Year's Day is a young brown-haired man.
It makes perfect sense. The book is Christmas in St. Louis, Traditions, Displays, and Celebrations. John Aldani is the author. We wish you happy holidays. It's great to see you, and I'm sure you'll be back sometime.
Thank you. Bon Natal.
Coming up next, Broadway star Sarah Bolt, and later, the Screwtape Letters. This is St. Louis Public Radio.